everyone, and welcome to another episode of Looking for Love in All the Wrong Dust Jackets, a show where three disgruntled harpies talk to you about everything we love in romance, whether that's books, movies, TV shows, whatever we like. My name's Liz.
I'm Danny.
I'm Wiggles.
And welcome to the episode. Today, we are discussing the movie Good Luck to You, Leo Grand. But before we get into that, I gotta talk to you. I gotta have a heart-to-heart. We gotta communicate about the fact that we, as previously stated, are disgruntled harpies, which means we are crass, we are unhinged, we're gonna swear, and we're gonna talk about all of the naughty times. So if you're not into that, I totally get it, but you've been warned.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
You always say something there, so now I can't keep going if you don't say something every single time.
I always.
Both of you do.
Okay. Farf and Kugel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But before we get into the movie, I want to know what's going on with you. Talk to me. How you doing? What have you been up to? You read anything cool? You watch anything cool?
I've done so many things.
Oh, yeah? Things.
So many things. Some of them good. Some of them bad. Some of them confusing. So, first, I tried and failed to read Twisted by Emily McIntyre. It's the fourth book in her Twisted series. I had to DNF it because it's literally the same story as Hooked. It's supposed to be Aladdin. So it's supposed to be Jasmine and Jafar get together. But here are the distinctions. Instead of her father being... just gone the whole time, he's dying of like cancer or something like that, and instead of her being a clueless virgin, she's only ever had sex with Ali, right? Aladdin, right?
Right.
And instead of the male main character hating her dad, he works for her dad and wants to take over the company by marrying her. So like, that's the full list of things that were in any way different.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, they have a seedy jewelry company, and her dad does not want her to take over it because of sexism. And I was just like, I can't read that book again. I'm sorry. I can't. I can't read the same story. And maybe it deviates way more if I had gotten past, like, chapter 5, but I just couldn't. I was like, no, I don't have time. I read Something in the Water by Katherine Stedman. It's supposed to be a mystery. In some moments they had the suspense, they had the mystery, but if you're somebody who reads mystery a lot, you're going to be bored with this. And I kind of was. So, I mean, here's the thing with a mystery, like the overarching thing should be that it asks a question and then the answer to the question is like, whoa, right? Mm-hmm. But if you ask the question and then don't answer part of the question, then it just, like, that's not how it works, right? It's not how it works. Anyway, so it was, because it was well written, it just, you know, if you're going to compete in the league with other mystery novels, you got to step.
Well, I do love a good mystery.
That's the fundamental, like, rule of the genre.
Right.
Right? When you're reading romance, you expect a happy ending. And I know there's some controversy on whether or not there should be or shouldn't be, like, a requirement of a happy ending, even if it's just the happy for now in romance. But in mystery, the expectation is that you get the answer to the mystery.
Right.
Otherwise, why are you reading it?
Right. Mm-hmm. You don't read Gone Girl and then are like, oh, I guess we'll never know what happened to her. Like, what? That would be insane. Not great success there. And then the other thing I did is I binged all of Quiet on Set, which is a lot. Highly recommend not watching that if you are at all going to be triggered by bad things happening to kids. And the full gauntlet of bad things that can happen to kids. So if you, otherwise, it's very enlightening.
I think that's going to be on our, like, to watch this weekend. Like, just go for it.
I want to watch it so bad, but at the same time, I'm like, can I do it? It's going to be a rough one for me, I think.
Some episodes are worse than others. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing.
My goodness.
Yeah. It's been time.
Liz, tell us what you've been doing. You always go last.
Oh, this is confusing for me. I read Not Your Ex's Hexes by April Asher, which is the second to Not the Witch You Wed. Check out our very first episode about that book. Wink, a wink, a nudge, nudge. I don't know. It was like a 3. It was like fine. It was kind of the vibe. I mean, it's fun. If you want like a fun, cute, quirky romance with witches and all of the supernaturals, it's fun. But
no tail action.
No, there's no tail action.
Yeah.
and another gripe. For the male main character to be a half demon, there was not enough.
Spicy time? Or spicy enough of the spicy time?
It's not spicy enough. But I knew that because the first book wasn't like uber spicy.
But I will say, from my memory, it was spicier than the first one.
Yes. So. It is spicier. For sure.
I think they got progressively more spicy, in my opinion.
You got to listen to your audience. If your audience wants spice, you got to do it.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Give them pierced peen. And that's what she said, okay.
In the third book?
Uh-huh.
Mm, good to know.
Yeah.
The other book that I read and I just finished today is The Perfect Fit by Sadie Kincaid. It is a why choose billionaire romance. I was like, give me something. Give me that, like, you know, that sweet, sweet candy, as Wiggles calls it. You know, that's what you call it. If it's like.
It sounds weird coming from you.
Good. That's what I want. It says it on Goodreads that it's a dark why choose romance. And I'm like, it's not dark. They have tragic backstories. It is not dark. I am so sorry. Get it together.
Lock it.
I mean, it's smutty.
Yeah.
You know, it tries to do a few things that I think a lot of smutty why choose romances don't do or don't do enough of, which is like really set up the relationship between the men's instead of just all of them flocking to this one woman, which is good. And there's like a conflict and she really sticks up for herself, which is nice to see instead of the just like, oh, okay, I guess vibe that happens a lot. I don't know. There's no romance in it. So if you want smut, just go read that.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I have one more thing. I binged Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the new Amazon show. I really liked it. But it is very character driven. So I can understand if like you watched the original movie and were expecting like a lot of action, which there is action. There's plenty of action in it. There's just also sometimes half of an entire episode that's just them kind of like talking. But it's good. It's really good. It's really well written. I like it a lot. And I'm excited to see if they get to do a season 2. Because there's some questions that need answers. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that is a romance. That show.
Nice.
That's what I did.
So my turn. So I am halfway through Hoarded by the Dragon by Lillian Lark. Yay. shut up. And then I needed a little breaksy from romance. And so I read all of Citadel by Siam Awanji, which is a sci-fi. And I love it. It was super good. I gave it, well, you can only give, you can't give half stars on Goodreads. So I gave it a 4, but I would say it's probably a 4.5 for me.
Dang.
Nice. It's like a dystopian story where they live in one, there's one city in the entirety of the world. It is called Citadel. And they have to go out over, there's high tide moments where basically the entire forest around them floods up to the top of the walls of the city. And there are demons, quote unquote, out in those forests and everything. So they have to go out and hunt and everything. And they're constantly getting killed by demons and everything. And there's a girl in it that cannot speak. And she is the daughter of one of the mucky mucks in the city and everything. And at one point, she starts to wonder if the demons aren't like sentient. And so she leaves a note for her family and is like, I'm going out in the woods. I'll see you in a month. And they think she's fucking dead. And it turns out that the demons are sentient and you eat a flower and you can speak to, they can speak telepathically with you because that's how they speak to each other. Because they can't make the noises because of their snouts. Mm-hmm. And so she's trying to figure out how to end the like centuries old wars that they've been doing, because people are constantly getting killed and demons are constantly getting killed. They're actually called Chimera, but demons are constantly getting killed for no fucking reason. Like, just stop being assholes to each other. It was really good. And there's a lot of like political intrigue with it, because it all has to do with like the religion of this city as well. It was really good. And the audiobook is fantastic, by the way.
Gotta love that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Sia Melange is the one that does the cafe latte fairy thing that I watch on TikTok. And she's the one who wrote Citadel.
Okay.
And now she's writing a cafe latte book. And I'm excited. And I'm hoping there's going to be a Citadel sequel, because it did not wrap everything up.
Well, let's get into the movie then.
Yay! Yeah!
Do we have any background on the movie?
I don't got background, but I've got fun facts.
We do love fun facts with Wiggles.
I want to be clear, these are all coming from IMDb, so their credibility questionable, but you came here instead of a movie podcast, and that's on you. So the first thing is, I think we've talked about this one. I can verify, because I've watched the interview where she said it. Emma Thompson, talking about like the naked scene in the hotel room, said it was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. She said Sophie, the director, Daryl, and I rehearsed totally nude and talked about our bodies, talked about our relationship with our bodies, drew them, talked over things that we find difficult about, factors that we like about them. Which leads into Daryl McCormick, who plays Leo, Emma Thompson, who plays Nancy. They actually didn't have an intimacy coordinator for the entire movie. Quote, "We just thought if we really focus on getting to know one another and being comfortable with one another, that we will be able to do all the work ourselves," McCormick explains. "We would walk to set together. We would walk home together. We would eat together, run the lines for the next day together, go to sleep, and then repeat." So there you go. Also, the film was shot in 19 days, and it was set shot in consecutive order, which is not common for film.
Usually, no, it's not.
Just shot out of order. But they thought that they would have an easier time building their relationship as the film was being shot, if it was all shot in the same
that
order.
That makes sense, because the entire movie is them building up the relationship. So having the actors also do that by working together makes sense. Also, 19 days doesn't surprise me. There's like not
one location.
Yeah,
I was gonna say one, maybe two locations, because they had like him outside at one point, at the beginning, and then there's the coffee shop thing.
Yep.
But
other than that, so three total locations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of it is just in the hotel room.
Right. So yeah, I just thought that was really interesting that this was definitely not shot the way most films are shot.
Did you say the director was also naked at some point?
That they were they worked together through it. Like, I don't think the director was naked with them.
Okay.
It was, like, working with them.
While they were doing
the naked.
Okay. That's what usually would happen. But just, I don't know. I interpreted what you said as the director was also naked.
I did too for a second. And I was like, that can't be right.
I don't think that was meant to be what was implied. But no, I think the director was just there while they were having conversations about their bodies and all of that. And I don't think that they were naked for every aspect of that, right? Like, they just, yeah. But also, like, god damn, that's a lot of trust to build up over 19 days.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
You know? Like, I get why they had to, like, eat together, sleep together, like, all of that. Because, like, whew! It's a lot of trust in another person's hands.
Well, and to not have an intimacy coordinator on set is also a lot of trust involved, because, so of course I see this on TikTok. I actually follow an intimacy coordinator on TikTok, and she talks about the ways that she helps people like understand what, you know, what are their no-goes, and that like she has the full-on conversations with it. And when people are trying to not respect their boundaries, she gets to be the one that's like, nay. She's like, no, I will be your bad guy. Don't think I won't. And I like that. I'm like, good for you.
Well,
how do you get that job?
I don't know. You probably have to go through a specific training. But I know I wish that we had had that so much earlier. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there's mm-hmm. so many other people who wish that we'd had that so much earlier. Mm-hmm. But I think because it was just these two actors, if the two of them are like, we are fully committed to, like, you say stop, we'll stop, right? Like, I think that's a different dynamic than when you're part of an overarching show and you're only one piece of it, you know?
Right. Because then you don't have a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. Or if you do, maybe you're doing scenes with other people with that person instead of just like really focused on the two of you.
Well, because that's the other thing about this movie. There isn't a lot of other people in the movie. No. It's mostly them.
Right. And like, think about a show like, especially early on in Supernatural, where it was just girl after girl after girl coming in for especially Dean. If you don't have an intimacy coordinator in that situation, though,
yeah,
you're just there for a moment. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine like objecting or complaining in that situation is very difficult.
Absolutely.
Not only that, is it depends on the type of scene, right? Because mm-hmm. if you think about Game of Thrones and the big like moment with, Khaleesi's her title. What's her name?
Daenerys.
Yeah. The big first moment when those two are together, which is extremely uncomfortable to watch. Yes. If you really think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You would definitely want somebody who's a professional in handling that situation and helping guide you through it.
Right.
Absolutely. Or even later when it gets much later down, like Cersei walks naked through the entire city.
Yeah.
Like that had to be really hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I know in some things they body double, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I always watch things like this and I'm like, y'all are so much braver than I could be.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're getting paid money to do it. So that's
I suppose. I suppose like big money changes the conversation.
Anyway, Danny, what's this movie about?
This movie is about a woman who is, I'm going to put this in big quotation marks because I don't believe this, but past her prime. Basically, she's an older woman who has now lost her husband. He was the only person she'd ever been with sexually, and she was never sexually excited by him. So she's decided that she is gonna go get it, girl, and learn a few things. And so she hires a sex worker to help her learn how to do some of these things and see if she can learn to like intimacy in that way and see it, you know, figure out her life. Mm-hmm. And that is Leo. Mm-hmm. And we like Leo.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the movie.
It's a short synopsis because that's what it is.
It is.
Over four different times that they meet each other.
Yes.
And it just progresses from there.
And I think like at least for the first three meetings, I think they're only like 2 hours long.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and this is of the trend of the kind of quiet film, mm-hmm. right? Where mm-hmm. it's not trying to tell you this massive epic like a Marvel film. It's just trying to tell you this short moment in these people's lives. And so if it weren't for the flashy material, I think that it would be very tame, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was very tame until the end.
Yeah.
I will say this movie is categorized depending on where you look differently.
Yes.
So if you Google this film, it'll say that this is a comedy slash romance. But if you look it up on Hulu, which is where I watched it, it says it's a drama slash comedy. And I gotta say, it's not a romance.
No.
It's, in my opinion, not a comedy.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And it is a drama, but it's not like hugely dramatic.
Right.
It's just, like you said, telling this small story. Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like it's telling a small story, but I feel like it's kind of an important story.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. Yes. At first I was sort of like, I don't know if I'm going to like this one, which I was like already kind of bummed. You know, I was like, oh no, what if I'm not going to like this? Because it feels like it should be up my alley. And then as it like progressed, it was almost like I warmed to the idea of the movie as she was like warming to the idea of like expressing herself. As Leo was warming to the idea of opening him up to somebody, and I was like, oh, I see what you did there, you sneaky minx.
I kind of had the same reaction. I was like, am I bored? Like, I'm not bored, but what is happening? And then like it got a little more, and I'm like, oh, suddenly I am super invested. Mm-hmm.
My big concern, and I don't want to talk about the ending yet, because I think maybe the best way to talk about this movie is to talk about them
sequentially in the same way that the movie does. Yeah.
But my big concern, especially about in the middle of the first meeting, was I don't know how this movie is going to end, but one of the ways will not be good for me, which we'll talk about when we get to the ending.
Yeah.
So the first meeting happens and it's just nerves and tension and everything from at least from Nancy, played by Emma Thompson.
Clearly he's used to seeing clients who, when he arrives, they're like ready to go, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's obviously seen some that are kind of like Nancy. He has a very soothing presence with her. He's very kind and patient with her. But like, I'm assuming most of the people who hire him are like, yeah, give me a piece of that. But I'm like, here's the thing. If I found myself in Nancy's position, I would also be like, oh God, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Same.
I would not be able to handle it. I would give up and walk out. I'd be like, well, this was nice. Okay, bye.
I would need to have almost like a business meeting first. Like, what are the ground rules?
Yes.
What's the plan? Exactly like her. What is the plan?
Yeah.
How does this work?
What that thing do?
Oh man, I love the way that he kept being like, no, here's the thing, you've concocted in your head that I don't want to be here and I do want to be here, so if I didn't want to be here I wouldn't have said yes,
right?
So there's that.
Well, it's from Nancy's perspective, it is a little like conflicting because he is there providing a service, mm-hmm. as he continuously stated. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I have paid for you to be here, but you don't really want me. Like, you're only kissing me or doing whatever, touching me, because I have paid you to do that. And he's like, no, I still, like, have an attraction for you.
She even asks him, like, what about me could you possibly be attracted to? And he has good answers. He's like, I like your mouth. I like this area of your collarbone. I think that it's very smooth and sleek or something like that. I can't remember exactly what he says. But, like, it's like, yeah. You don't notice those things unless you're paying attention. And you're not paying attention if you don't want to look.
Right.
You know?
She also has the added confliction is that she was literally a teacher of religion. Mm-hmm. So she's having the, like, war with herself, too, of, like, she believed things a certain way. She taught people a certain way all of her life. And now she's doing this thing.
That basically goes against a lot of what she taught.
Mm-hmm. She definitely starts out the film really having a very not having a modern perspective on the world, and in some ways a little problematic perspective on the world, which I don't like that the character has a problematic perspective, but I like that the character felt grounded in reality. It felt like somebody that you could know this person.
Well, and it's not so, yes, she has a problematic perspective on the world and everything, but she also is growing and changing, and that is changing as well.
Right.
And I think that it's so realistic, and yet we, like, I don't know if we don't talk about it enough, or maybe it's just not represented enough. These people who have a very, like, quote unquote moral view towards sex, a more religious view, and whatever, if anybody's listening, whatever your religious preferences or ideas are, that's you do you, but then counteract it with their actions and then just don't know how to process it. And that's exactly what she's doing. She wants to have this adventure, she wants to experience something in life she's never experienced, and yet there's something in her brain that's like, but you're not supposed to want this. You're not supposed to do this. It's bad.
Well, even before I like read those fun facts that I talked about earlier, I had myself, like, I was asking the question throughout the movie. I was like, how much of this is improv and how much of this is truly scripted? Was the hyper focus on those particular body parts? Did that come out of, was that generated by this process that you went into of studying each other's bodies and getting comfortable with one another?
That would be the most genuine way to do it.
Absolutely. Right?
Like, were you able to get that far because of this process that you could just tap into it by actually speaking to things that you felt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like, is it the first meeting where she asks him, why are you doing this? Like, why are you a sex worker? And her questions are all like, oh, you're probably doing it because you have to, or you were maybe sex trafficking. And he says at one point, oh no, I'm doing it to pay through college. And her entire like perspective changes. She's like, oh, you're just doing this for school. And he's like, no, I'm not. No.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
I'm not being trafficked. I'm not being exploited.
Right.
I'm doing it because it's my job. It's the job that I like or affords me the life I want. It's my job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that this movie is doing more to humanize sex work than anything else I've ever seen. Like,
absolutely.
Definitely pushing things like Pretty Woman out of the water, right?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Because the way he talks about it as a service that he's providing to people, you know, would you condemn somebody who was a private chef?
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they like making food. Do they necessarily like making food for a client? Hard to say, but you know what? They pay. So.
Right.
Right?
Well, and in the second meeting, I think it's the second meeting, he explains all of these different ways that he interacts with clients.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's sexual and some of it's...
My favorite one is he literally just lays in bed with them, watches TV, and holds hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, that's adorable.
There's one where he dresses like a cat and sits in the corner.
I love that it's also he's specifically supposed to ignore the person.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, and I'm like, okay, but I could get behind that one.
You're going to pay me to just, like, sit over there and ignore you?
Bet.
Can
I'm
do.
I'm real good at that. Yeah, I don't know. I liked the way that he made that character feel very human and not like a caricature.
Well, and also he points out that, you know, there are a lot of people in the world that are, one, touch starved, and two, just lonely for a little bit of companionship. And sometimes you do what you need to do to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, and they don't go into it, but I think there's also a lot of people who have a lot of mental barriers towards creating like maybe organic connection,
mm-hmm.
whether they're have a lot of anxiety around new people, whether they have trauma around people, trust issues or things like that. And so being able to pay somebody, have clear and set boundaries and rules in that service, like it was a private chef coming to your home, mm-hmm. and then being able to be fulfilled either sexually or emotionally or just cuddling, it's I don't know. I love the fact that at one point they just really talk about like, should sex work, should what he's doing really be available to everyone?
Well, see, that's the thing, though. I think that there are a lot more people that fit that description than those who don't.
Yeah.
And I am skipping a little bit ahead towards the end where she's talking to about the fact that she's actually recommended him to some of her friends who she feels also could use this type of interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was saying that her friends, because I can't tell, are they supposed to be like in their 60s? Is that how old she's supposed to be?
I think so.
It's
hard to tell when they've been in Hollywood forever because they're like, they have all the magic potions.
She is gorgeous.
Yeah.
So,
but she's literally telling him at the end when she's talking about that she is seeing her friends kind of fade away, mm-hmm. like as they get older. And what some of the service he's providing is literally what she describes at the beginning, is it's another adventure to take on. Mm-hmm. And whether that's hiring a sex worker is the adventure, whether it's all of the activities that they're trying together, that's the adventure, probably both. Gotta keep living life.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand. This is a tangent. I don't need an answer to this, but I'm so curious. How do you find a sex worker like that? Do you just Google sex worker near me?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, okay, I think from my watching the show Call Girl, I'm basically an expert.
It was the hand motion for me, Wiggles. She just like ran her hand through her hair, which is not down.
Basically an expert. But okay, so, which is also a really good show starring Billy Piper. Check it out. So in Call Girl, if you are a specific type of escort.
Yeah.
Right? Like then it you're almost like a billable service. And I'm guessing he works a little bit like that. So I don't know if there's like, I don't know if there's like truly an advertisement, but there's definitely, or a truly an advertisement for sex work, but there are definitely advertisements for escorts.
True.
He does say at one point that what he's doing is not illegal,
mm-hmm.
because he's providing
it's supposed to be companionship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is what that looks like to different people is subjective, essentially.
Right. Well, and, you know, you think about it this way. You can hire people to be your bridesmaids. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard this.
I have not heard of it, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. You can hire people to go on, like, vacations with you and things like that. It's very similar. Hmm. Only in this situation, they have sex in the end.
I just want to go on vacation.
Yeah, I don't want a new person on my vacation with me.
I think that ultimately is, like, the factor that turns me away from all of this more than the being poor thing is I don't want another person to have to worry about, okay? Yeah. So I'm good. Thank you.
I can understand doing, though, what Nancy is doing.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's also 2 hours. We find out these are, like, 2-hour meetings. I could handle, you know, meeting somebody new and boning down for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand why a character like Nancy ends up doing it. And I understand how people who especially have, like, social anxieties and things like that, or have something about them, that, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, whatever, that hinders them from being able to make connections elsewhere. But I think that for a lot of women our age and, like, younger especially, like, you could just go into a bar and say, anybody horny? And it would pretty much, there, yeah, you go. And,
but there's theoretically, there would be a safety issue with hiring somebody, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it would be safer to go through a service.
In theory.
In theory. That's why it should be legal, because then it would be safer.
Right.
I also, which for is everyone. Part of it should be legal.
So their first meeting is them just kind of getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. And they eventually crawl into bed and they're sharing these stories. And it fades to black with her moaning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think happens there?
I'm pretty sure he fingered her.
I think that happened as well. I don't think they had the full intercourse.
No, I don't think they do the full intercourse until the end.
Yeah, based on her list, they must not have.
Yeah, because meeting two, she
becomes very prepared.
Yeah, she hires him again. And she says, we have a list.
Yes.
It's blowjob. He goes down on her.
A 69.
69. Doggy style. Yes. And her on top.
Yes.
Are the things she wants to do. Mm-hmm. In 2 hours.
Yeah. The look on his face said, I don't know if I have the strength.
Well, and the other thing that I found very interesting is she also informs him that she's never had a curtain call. Mm-hmm. She has never had an orgasm. The only man she's ever been with is her husband. And he, when she described how their lovemaking was, I felt so bad for her. But at the same time, her, like, hand motions and everything. And when she, like, made fun of how she pretended she finished every time. I died.
I was like, that's not real, right? Ma'am. Ma'am? No. You didn't do that.
Well, but if she's never had sex with anybody else and he never actually got her there or anything, she might not really know how to even fake it correctly.
Well, my question is, how did her husband accept that for 30 years ago? Yeah, sure, whatever.
Apathy. He didn't actually give a shit.
That's what it is. He didn't care about that.
Dude, it's so bad.
It seemed very clearly like it was just about him getting off as quickly as possible and then going to sleep.
I don't think that they were ever in love. That's my read of the situation.
Yeah, the way she talks about him, they definitely came across as, like, a marriage of convenience.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think she disliked him as a human by any means, but I don't think she was in love.
Well, she's sort of from a different era where you kind of just married somebody because they were there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which is awful.
Also, but, she's pretty bad to her kids.
Oh my God, right? Like, some of the things she said, she's like, my son is boring and my daughter is a, like, what was it? She was like a mess or something like that.
Yeah.
And
I was like,
well, that brings up a whole other conversation.
Yes.
Which is a massive rabbit hole to go down, which is, it seems like she didn't want kids.
No.
But she didn't. No, because at that time, the concept of not wanting kids didn't exist. Like,
absolutely.
You got married, you had kids, that's what is done.
Right.
Even now, sometimes people are like, you don't want kids? And I'm like, no, I'm good.
I think that especially here in the Midwest, and I think this is also a problem in the South, there's this idea that it's your obligation.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you get married, you have kids, it's the whole deal. Do it, do it, do it. You got to do these things, right? They're boxes for you to check off. And I'm sure that that was 10 times worse if you go back a decade, if you go back a decade, if you go back a decade, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Like, it just, you know.
Mm. I don't know what it was like in the UK, but
I don't think it was much different.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Because that's the other thing. This entire movie is set in the UK. He is Irish. Oh, that man's voice and his eyes mm-hmm. and his face and his abs.
Oh, well, I know them. Him from Peaky Blinders.
Oh. Yeah.
But he's real young when he's on Peaky Blinders. So if you go back and you're like, I'm going to see a man. No, you're going to see a child. Okay. I mean, he's probably like, I don't know, like 16, 17, but still. A child.
That's a child.
That's a child.
That's a child.
Right. But like, I mean, like, he's not
12.
Right. He's not five.
Right.
But yeah.
Anymore, somebody's 25 and I'm like, you are a child.
So I did have to have a moment of like detachment where I was like, what are you doing here? You need to go home. This is inappropriate.
Yeah. But she definitely came across to me as someone who like never really wanted to be a mom.
No.
But yeah. She loves her kids, but she doesn't like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I don't know if you guys felt this, but I think that that conversation that she has with him is like what every kid's nightmare scenario is, in that like what they've concocted in their head of like, yeah. My mom doesn't like me, and then it's true. Like, and so for her to be saying those things to him, when we find out more about his backstory, is just like fucking cruel.
Oh yeah, no, it's when you find out his backstory, you're like, oh, honey.
And since we're talking about it, might as well get into it. His backstory mm-hmm. is that his mom doesn't like him. She no. disowned him at 15.
Yep.
Yes.
And he left their house, and she just doesn't talk to him. She tells everybody he's dead.
Well, the thing that I think's interesting is that the circumstance under which she was like, you're out, is that he essentially participated in an orgy with his friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. He invited his friends over.
Because she was supposed to be gone for the weekend or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. And in the process of like getting through the liquor cabinet, they took their clothes off and messed around.
Right.
Which is what you do as a teenager. Apparently. I don't know. I didn't do it.
I was a really lame teenager.
Yeah,
so.
Same.
Same, actually. We were lame. We made up for it in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
The interesting thing about the way he describes that situation is she walked in and they were all like all together, limbs entwined and everything. He said they were exploring each other's bodies, mm-hmm. which is very much something that happens when you're young. You were learning things about yourself. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there is this massive undertone, in my opinion, of this movie of like, because of a moral oppression, mm-hmm. right? She doesn't know her body. Right. And so mm-hmm. he's literally telling her that he got completely cut off from his family because they were never taught how to deal with, in my opinion, and obviously I'm putting my own interpretation on this, but like they were taking it in their own hands to learn what sexuality is. Mm-hmm. And then there's her who never did that because she was a good like woman and didn't ever do anything wrong. And so now she's in this position where she's in her 60s and she's never had an orgasm.
Right.
Just a crime.
There are a lot of women in this world who have never had an orgasm, and
there's a lot to be said about that, right? Yeah. But if you're listening and you are one of those women, just buy yourself an aid, buy mm-hmm. a toy, because trust me,
buzzy friend.
You'll like it. Mm-hmm. Or you won't. Actually, I shouldn't say trust me, you like it. Some people wouldn't like it. And that's totally fine.
Yeah, that is fine.
Just
absolutely
don't be afraid to explore yourself, because absolutely.
And that's like the vibe of this movie.
Yeah, like that's kind of the underpinning. Well, an underpinning thing.
Yeah,
throughout it is like, why force yourself into a box when no one's looking?
Well, it comes up in different ways when, so in the second meeting, her daughter is calling her repeatedly, mm-hmm. and she has to answer the phone because she always answers the phone. Like, that's what he asks of, like, you can answer it, but like, you don't have to. And she's like, but I always answer the phone. That's like, I do. And then they go through all these things that she always does, right? Like, she always is like, makes her schedules. She's always reliable. She, you know, she doesn't adventure.
Although, on the other hand, when my mom doesn't answer the phone, I'm like, what is wrong with you? Oh my God. Why aren't you just at my beck and call? So fucking rude.
My favorite is when my dad answers the phone instead of my mom, and I called my mom's phone, and then I have a moment of, you, not her.
You're not the one I wanted. Yeah, getting back to that whole interaction, you can tell that, like, there are moments where he is just a little bit fucking irritated.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, good for you, you know, stand up, don't let the customer's not always right.
Yeah, there is a moment, I think this actually is back in the first meeting though, and it is one of the moments that I loved so much. So they're super nervous with each other. Well, she is super nervous, Nancy is, and he's like trying to coax her into feeling more comfortable and touching and stuff, and she's like, I just need to go get changed. She wants to like get out of what she's wearing and put on this like little nighty thing. And while she's in the bathroom doing that, Leo is like trying to figure out what he's supposed to do.
Yes.
As he like is like unbuttoning his shirt and then like rebuttoning his shirt and then like taking his pants off and then like laying on the bed and like, oh, sitting over here. And I'm like, oh, that's nice to see that you're, yes, also awkward.
And then she takes too long in the bathroom and he gets up and eats a Mars bar and she hates
it. I don't think she actually hated the Mars bar. I think it was an excuse to not have him touch her.
Yes.
I know. But yeah. It was just like, oh, Nancy.
Well, and you can just see he's like, okay,
I'll go brush my teeth.
All right. Yeah. Well, I think it's also in that first one where she says something along the lines of like, oh no, I've killed the moon. He's like, I didn't know there was a moon. I was like, oh, that was kind of mean. But also, you're right.
Sick burn, bro. But yeah.
Yeah. Is it in the first one or the second one that they are like dancing? I think it's the second one.
Yeah. That was so cute.
Wasn't it?
I want to dance with this boy.
And it was like so awkward because there's a bench in front of the bed and they're going to start with the blowjob. And he keeps, you know, sitting down like, all right, if you want to do this, we don't have to start here. But if you want to just, she's like, I just want to do it and get it done with.
And I want to go in order. The list has to go in order. Blowjobs first.
I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I get what she said. She's like, I've already thought it through in my head. And yes. I'm just like, I need it to go this way.
I've already built it up.
Yeah.
This is what has to happen. So getting back to our movie, one thing I have to say is, especially the first and second session, the amount of cringe drove me out of my seat literally multiple times. I had to stand up. I was like, no, ma'am, please don't say that thing, don't do that thing, stop it. It was that, I mean, I don't think that that was a bad thing. I think you are meant to feel as anxious and uncomfortable as she is, but I was just like,
see, to me it was the third meeting,
really,
that's the one. Like, everything up until then, yeah, it was awkward, it was nervous. She said some things where I was like, no, don't say that. Uh-huh. But the third meeting, was rough for me. So the third meeting starts out with him eating her out. You got to get to item number two on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did, like, she broke a cardinal rule, which is they had established in, I think, the second meeting that, or the first one, whatever, that Leo is not his real name and Nancy is not her real name. Right. They're both using fake names.
Which you would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like, she then says in the third meeting, like, she's trying to get to know him better and she's asking him questions, like, about his mom or something. And he's, like, putting up this barrier of, like, I don't want to talk about it. And so she then goes, well, I just wanted to let you know that I was able to look you up. And, like, I found out who you were. And he, of course, freaks out. Like,
yeah, I would, too.
Right.
And her reaction is, like, oh, I thought we could, like, be friends outside of here or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you just crossed the one line you're not supposed to cross.
Yeah, you broke his boundary.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the part about it that was so hard to digest was that she just wasn't getting it. Like, the more he was like, no, this yeah. is not okay. Mm-hmm. She just kept trying to justify it further. And it was like, stop, just stop. He's already said that this is not okay. Like, how many times do you need to hear that?
Well, and then she just keeps going like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, mm-hmm. I'll tell you my name. And he's just like, stop talking. Yes. You need to stop.
Yes. Well, and I think she finally kind of a little bit understands when he's like, you know, I could figure out your name too because of the billing, same way, but I'm not going to do that.
I think that it hits a little bit different when she's like, I wonder if your boring kids would love to find out, you know, about their yeah. what their mom gets up to or something along those mm-hmm. lines. And then it's all of a sudden, oh, well, I could see now why it's a problem. And it's like, how did you not run that back? How did you not think about that before you did this?
Well, she even, and I was just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Even says, well, you know, does your mom know what you do? I could talk to her about it. I'm really good at talking to parents and explaining things. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
I think she genuinely thought she was doing him a favor.
She did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She absolutely did. And it's like, no, that's not how this works. You can't. He put up these boundaries for a reason, for a very good reason. You can't stomp them and think he's going to thank you for it.
Right.
Yeah. And that was the part that, like, that whole sequence, not even him getting mad afterwards, but like the way she just kept being like, no, what I'm doing is a good thing. Don't you mm-hmm. understand?
Yeah, I was super uncomfortable.
Like, it also reminds me of somebody I know in a very uncomfortable way. So I was just like watching it like, the scene needs to end because I feel bad.
Yeah. Well, I think he calls her a stalker at one point, and I think that that's completely correct.
Yeah, right? It is.
Like, it's not just that she's crossed this boundary, which is not okay, but that she's had to, like, go out of her way to cross this boundary. Like, mm-hmm. there are plenty of checkpoints where you can stop yourself from going mm-hmm. further. It's not like, oh, I don't want you to touch this very specific part of my body, and then you accidentally graze it.
Yeah.
Like, it is... You have so much time to stop what you're doing, mm-hmm. and you didn't.
Well, and on top of it, the way she's saying, like, I thought maybe we could, like, meet up outside of this and, you know, just be friends or grab a coffee or something, is, I would imagine, the worst possible scenario for him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you need to be very clear that this is not a relationship outside of this service, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when we're together, when you've paid for us to be together, like, then I'm focused on you, but this isn't morphing into something else. Like, that's the worst possible thing you could think.
Well, and I think she thought it was okay because in her mind, she's like, no, I don't want something romantic from you. I just want to be your friend. Right. And it's like, that's still not okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how you could possibly think that.
Right.
I do, actually. That feels very of that generation.
Yeah.
Well, it harkens back to when we were watching Austin Land, right? Like, mm-hmm. this is a very dangerous game to play.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. The other thing I didn't love about that sequence is just the way that even after it ended badly, she was still sort of felt, like, indignant about it.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it because it felt real, right? This, yeah. like, part where he left his cell phone behind. Mm-hmm. And was like, don't talk to me. I'm just here for my cell phone. And is like freaking out, starting to pull the hotel apart a little yeah. bit. That.
Because he's in pure panic mode.
Yes. That emotionally felt so real.
It did.
It was fight or flight.
Yes.
In that moment. And I felt that. I was like, oh, honey, I legitimately would be afraid to try to comfort him at that point. Mm-hmm. Because he's too amped up. And not that I really think, like, this is me putting myself in the movie, and, like, I would have obviously not been her, but, like, as somebody knowing him or something, I would be a little alarmed to try to approach him to try to comfort him in that moment.
Well,
he needs time to simmer.
Yeah.
And up to that point, we've only seen his, like, professional side, which mm-hmm. is very charming and
very calm.
Mm-hmm. And then he just has a very valid, abrupt reaction mm-hmm. to her, and even, like, punches the wall, and like starts crying and just breaks down and tells her like the history with his mom and grabs a cell phone and leaves. And I'm so glad in that situation it was written where it wasn't like he broke down and then they just like made up. It was like him being like, I'm gonna tell you why this is really bad and then I gotta go. I can't be around you.
Right.
Don't fucking talk to me ever again. Don't book me.
Right, right. I think it's really an interesting dynamic shift because exactly like you said, all the way up to this, we're seeing this like poised, professional, calming nature of him. But it shows like how much of that is a mask and how quickly that mask can come down. And I don't say that meaning that I think that he's angry and bitter underneath or anything like that.
Or even
I'm sure those feelings
edge,
exist, but yeah. But like, I think that if you put somebody under a pressure cooker of a situation and expect them to come out shining like a diamond, you're going to be sorely mistaken, right? There's going to be a point where people finally break and lash out. And the irony is that you always have these people who are like, all I was doing was trying to be nice. Mm-hmm. It felt very much like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just literally put it in any situation that you might be familiar with. Like, imagine being at work. Mm-hmm. Like, and when I'm at work, like, I don't obviously talk the way I do on the podcast. I talk professional. I try to be calm and approachable and all that stuff in my job. But if somebody crossed a severe boundary like that to the point where I had a kind of a panic attack,
right?
It would be a drastic shift because not only am I revved up emotionally, I've lost the work filter. Like, so I'm changing from work me to real me to panic.
Yeah.
And that's a huge shift.
We all have our boundaries that we put up. And when somebody smashes through them like she did, we're all going to have our breaking points of moments of freak out. We all have triggers like that.
Well, and the question that you could ask is, has this happened to him before?
Yeah.
Has somebody done this, something like that to him before?
Well, he does mention that there's been times where he's felt unsafe. There's been times where he has to walk away. And then she ends up being one of those times.
Yep.
And in a way where he wouldn't have seen it coming.
Right, right. Yeah. Ugh, that was rough, but I think needed.
Oh, it definitely tells the story, right? Because then you get to the fourth meeting where she is paid for him to kind of just have a reconciliation, like come to the coffee shop, which I was very confused why there was nobody else in this.
It wasn't actually a coffee shop.
No, it was the lobby of the hotel, right?
Yeah.
Still, it felt like very bare and confusing. I'm sure it was done purposefully to increase the intimacy between the two characters.
It was probably at a weird time of day.
Sure.
Weird time of day. They don't have good coffee.
Yeah.
That is mentioned repeatedly.
Yes. It's true. Yeah. Well, and I liked that he didn't bother dressing up for her.
Yep. Right.
He came fully prepared to walk away from that situation as soon as possible, if needed.
She also wasn't dressed up because everything up to that point, her hair is perfectly like positioned and she's wearing one of her like suit dress things, something she would wear to work to teach. And in that moment, her hair is just like pinned up and she's wearing like a sweater and pants or something, which I will say she looks the hottest of all of the outfits she wears.
1,000%.
Yeah, she does. I was staring at it going, I like that sweater.
Yeah.
I would wear the shit out of that sweater.
Some people look amazing in business wear. And some people, that is just, it's not for them. It's just a costume they put on.
I mean, she looks good in the business wear.
She looks fine, but she looks
so much better in that sweater. So I do think what was really interesting about the meeting with her student in the cafe that they have is that she kind of confronts her about how horrible she treated her students and everything. Like, she called them all sluts.
Yeah.
And, like, put, like, in an assembly and everything. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, she is on this learning journey. She is coming to terms with, you know, learning her sexuality, but also figuring out how she's treating other people because she's having the realizations of, like, I shouldn't say things like that about my kids and stuff like that. And she takes the opportunity to, like, she almost gets defensive and then takes a step back for just a second to be like, you know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, I appreciate that because there was a half a second second where you could see her getting defensive. Mm-hmm. And then it's the, I need to relearn how I respond to things. And I appreciated that, because that is something that you have to do if you sometimes the natural instinct is to get defensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think another big lesson too here is just because something was acceptable or even the quote unquote right thing to do 20, 30 years ago doesn't mean it is that way today. Mm-hmm. And we as people need to learn to grow as the world grows.
Right.
Absolutely.
I also will say that when she chooses to like apologize, she also turns it into this moment of like, also, by the way, this is a male escort. We're about to have sex. You should have sex. And like, yeah. Pieces out. And I'm just like, that girl has the best story.
Sure does.
To oh, yeah. Go tell everybody. She's like, you're never going to believe this.
I ran into Mrs. Robinson because that's her real name.
Yeah.
And this shit happened. I promise I'm not making it up.
I swear to God, I couldn't make it up. I tried. Miss, we're sluts for wearing skirts, is having sex with a male escort.
Who is half her age, which yes. is totally fine. But that's another key point we haven't really touched on is yeah. he is half her age. Mm-hmm. And
if not younger.
If not younger. Yeah. And one thing I love is after they're about to leave and Nancy / Susan is her real name, right? Uh-huh. Something like that. Is like, you. I got a glowing review for this guy. You should check him out.
Yes.
And he's like, all right, I'll see you later, Bev, who's the student. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe later.
She was clearly like sort of flirting with him earlier, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so can you imagine like this guy that you think you're flirting with? Because the premise that they are meeting under is that he's going to sell her a car or whatever. So yeah. She's just like, oh, this is a regular Joe. I'm just going to chat with this regular Joe guy. And and then, oh, he's sleeping with my teacher. That's weird. Oh, he's an escort. Okay, I need to reevaluate some things.
There's going to be so many text messages sent.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my God.
That's a story she's retelling to everyone in explicit detail over and over and over again.
Because oh, hell yeah.
If you have a story like that, you got to milk it because you're never going to get another one like it for like at least 10 years, right?
Every party she goes to,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, this happened.
Yeah.
People who didn't go to school with her, who don't know this teacher, she's like, listen, I need to set up this premise and then I need to tell you what happened.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh. The three of us would tell the story to each other 18 million times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
We would still be like, tell me again.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me what she said. Say it exactly. Oh, man. That's a chef's kiss story right there.
And then we'd be mad because we didn't get pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Just think, you could have just done a quick little click right on the phone there, and you missed the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, she's a server. We nosy bitches. I served for a long time. We nosy bitches.
Oh, yeah. The first thing she does is she goes back to where all the other like servers and cooks or whatever are and is like, those people that are out there, do you know what's happening?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I also love that like five different people are like, can I help you with anything? And she's like, for the love of God, leave me alone. Which is how I feel at a lot of restaurants now. I'm like, listen, you just need to come the one time to get the order and then the next time to get the food. And then we'll both be fine. Like, I will have my food. You will have the opportunity to do anything else but talk to me. So don't waste your energy on me. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. And then they go upstairs and they finish the list.
They finish the list and then some.
And then some.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's important to be clear if you haven't watched this movie. Because the rest of this, like, is it kind of, have we kind of spoiled? Sure. But like, you can still really enjoy this movie and know exactly what's about to happen. But the ending, they fully go for it. Mm-hmm. They go for it like Bridgerton. They go for it like The Great. Like, I'm trying to think of like examples that go for it as hard as they do at the end of this movie.
Well, especially, and it's so shocking because up to that point, we don't see anything.
No.
Like, we don't see any nudity. We mm-hmm. don't see any of, like, the most you see is, like, after he's done eating her out. And, like, you can see like her butt kind of from the side. And instead, they show everything.
Everything.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Okay. They didn't show like a full frontal of him.
Of him.
No.
Yeah.
You do kind of see it from the side at one point, though, for like a second.
Yes. Well, and you do almost see him even better in, I think it's session 2. He's like walking over and you see it swing and I'm like, oh, wasn't ready. I'm ready now. Go back.
I have to say, though, the way that scene starts, like, got all my heart aflutters because they're walking into their hotel room and she opens the door first and walks in and he's right behind her and immediately shuts the door and then just like grabs her and pulls her to him. And I was like, oh, this is cute.
Well, I think he genuinely was turned on by her speech.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so, too.
And I was like, oh, this is different.
Also, they spend a lot more than 2 hours in there.
For sure.
Well, yeah.
I think it's the entire night. Mutual. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless he's going to charge her retroactively. There had to be some mutual things going on there.
Mm-hmm. Also, I will say for the final, you know, meeting, I really appreciate because the whole thing is... The entire time, you know, she's never had an orgasm. He does not give her an orgasm.
Yes.
She gives it to herself.
Yes.
That was the right choice.
I appreciated that so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they fuck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Down and sideways.
You see a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was not prepared for the level of nudity at all. Because like, he lifts her shirt up and you see Emma Thompson's boobs. And I was like, oh, we're doing boobs. And then like a second later, I'm like, oh, we're doing everything.
We're doing everything.
And I really love that they're like trying to figure out how to do the doggy style. And at one point she's like, oh, this isn't working for me. So they move to another position. And then like they move to another position. And I was like, yeah, sex is awkward.
It really is. No, I can't hold myself up like that. And I'm like, yeah. I appreciate you. I had the same thought when I was watching. I'm like, yeah, nope, that's the thing that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're like, I'm just tired. Like, move me in a different way.
Well, about the time you get used to one vignette, they're like, what if we did it over here? And then they're like, what if we did it over here? And you're like, this is a lot to keep up with.
Or the opposite, where you're like, why are we still in this same position?
Maybe it was working for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I do like her orgasm scene a lot because, mm-hmm. like, it's... he goes to his backpack to get like a toy,
mm-hmm.
when she's just like having a lazy dreamy moment to herself, kind of like looking at him and touching herself, and I'm like, oh, that's nice, that's a nice little scene.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
I also just I really appreciated the like context behind it, that you don't need somebody else to give you something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I really appreciated that, especially since all the years that her husband never did.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, girl, you can get that for yourself. Take it.
The thing about him bringing out a toy that I thought was really interesting is that clearly he was hoping for this outcome, mm-hmm. because he says he brought it for her specifically.
Yeah.
And he hasn't brought it to any of their other sessions, although he's brought up the idea of using a toy.
Mm-hmm.
So... I just thought that was interesting that like clearly he's made peace with it and like was like, you know what, I want to end this right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we get to the ending, which is the thing I'd said earlier, that if they had gone the wrong way, I don't think I would have enjoyed the movie as much. And the way it ends is Nancy says to him, like, you know, I think it's probably time for us to be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they just end on this very like enjoyable like moment. They're like, okay, that was like, we did this and it was great and we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't think it could have ended another way and I would have been happy with it.
I was so nervous right throughout the movie that I was like, are they going to try to Pretty Woman this where they end up together in some weird way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't. I don't think I would have liked it if they tried to even just have like maybe a friendship would have been fine, but like if they would have had any relationship outside of there.
I appreciated that they didn't even have the friendship. It's showing she now understands and respects his boundaries.
And yeah. They had a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that they had that moment and it's okay that it didn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
right like it's fine. I want to go back just a little bit.
Yeah.
To I think it's the second session. Yes. They've kind of like almost argued about the blowjob, and they're sitting in front of the bench just talking, and he's describing why he likes doing what he does.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was a really good, great moment.
It really was. And it kind of contextualizes everything that happens in that last meeting, right? Because what we learn about him is that the biggest turn on for him about all of it is watching the people that he's working with react to it.
Yeah.
And watching them have their moments of pleasure. And then he literally gets hard from that. And she's like, oh, like you really do. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I do love my job. And so then when it gets to the end and she's like said boldly that she is with this guy to do this thing and that almost is proud of it, which is mm-hmm. in complete contrast to like how that conversation started where he's hiding their relationship mm-hmm. for her. I think that probably does like just really hit him strong where he's like, whew, someone's proud of me for how I am. That's yeah. different. I don't know. I just thought that was a great moment.
It is a great moment.
It is it is. And it definitely feeds into the idea that he was into the last session as mm-hmm. much as she was.
I don't think he would have put in the work. I don't think he would have put in the time.
Look, there's a lot of work.
There was a lot of work from those involved. Scenes.
Yeah. You know, he was working overtime, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the whole thing wraps up with her like naked looking in the mirror and
which is a great moment too. Yeah. Like well done, Emma Thompson, for getting up the like gumption to do that.
It's
like,
hard.
How could it not be? Number one, people are recording you. Mm-hmm. Number two, you're like forced to actually look at yourself, mm-hmm. which is as a woman fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It's extremely difficult, even when you're not being recorded.
Yes.
Well, and to look at it through the lens of this character is accepting their body.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of accept your body as well in that moment.
Yeah.
That was really great.
It made me cry.
Yeah.
I did get a little misty at one point and I was like, is this movie really going to hit me that way?
Oh, okay. It was an unexpected mist for me. Like, and here's the thing. I'm a movie baby. You know this. I cry very easily.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect this one. To mist me, and all of a sudden I was like, what is this? Someone's cutting onions in here.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't entirely ready for all of the story that this story was telling.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things, like a lot of subject matter that was being touched on,
a lot of nuance too.
Yes.
Well, and the thing that really makes it work, I think, is that in between all of the attempted sex or successful sex, I don't know. What is successful sex? Attempted sex or completed sex? Let me put it that way. That feels better somehow. Are these really important conversations that the two of them are having. And sometimes they're about the generation gap. Sometimes they're about sexual experience gap. Sometimes they're about just the way the world works and how can we fix the world in one conversation, which are the best conversations, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes a story compelling. Mm-hmm.
Well, and everything seems to be told from both of their perspectives, because yes. like when she is talking about her body back in a previous scene, what she doesn't like about it. And then he, you know, they're talking about like, oh, he looks amazing. He has, you know, these abs. He's so toned. He's whatever. And he's like, yeah, but that's why you like me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like there is another side to the coin of if I didn't look like this, if I didn't have, you know, a six pack or whatever he has and muscles and tone, like, would you want me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we haven't really talked about his physique. He is very, very good looking. Like,
yeah.
Very mm-hmm. much hits the traditionally good looking guy boxes, like ticks them all off. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost feels a little weird to talk about how handsome this man is because it's like, am I perpetuating the objectification? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he is very attractive. I'm just going to say that he is.
Extremely attractive.
Right?
Yeah. I think that's part of the story, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, yeah, this is a really interesting movie with a completely different perspective than most movies being made today.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that in mind, good luck, ladies. How are we going to rate The Spice?
okay, so just to preface this, we are rating movie Spice.
Yes.
Which is not book Spice. They are different.
Correct. Yes.
I swear to God, it's like a 4.
I was thinking the same.
Yes.
Partly because we talk about sex a lot, but then they did it a lot.
Yeah.
Romance.
I give it a 0. There isn't romance in this. That's the point.
Yes. Yeah. I want to give it like a 0.5 because I feel like there are romantic-ish moments, mm-hmm. but they're also so close to like friendship moments that I don't know where the line is drawn. And I think that, again, is also the point.
Yeah.
Wiggs, what do you got?
I'm also going to say 0.
Okay.
Because it feels like it's intentionally not romantic. And
yeah.
So that seems like the logical answer.
Okay. Okay. What's your overall rating?
I give it like a 4. I really liked this movie. It took me just a smidgen to get into it. Or I was like, what is happening here? And then I was like, ooh, all right.
I was also at a 4. I don't know why. I love sex worker storylines. Like, in the sense that I like that there's like a... It's not just sex worker, but I love when there's storylines where there's like an arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That they're trying to like work through. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm at a 4.
I think I'm also going to go with a 4. Yeah, I don't have a ton to say about that other than I think it was a really good movie. It isn't a like a great comfort movie. It's not one that I'm going to watch over and over and over again. But 5 years down the line, I could definitely see myself watching this again and having a positive experience.
See, I almost want to rewatch it like soonish. Because I think rewatching it knowing the ending mm-hmm. is going to give like a different perspective.
Sure.
Very possible. That sometimes happens.
Yeah. That leads us to your recommendations.
Okay. So one, we've covered it on here. The Kiss Quotient.
Fuck you.
I'm sorry.
No, that's not fair. Start again.
I'm sticking with that.
Fine. Then I don't have recommendations.
I did get a lot of Kiss Quotient. Like
vibes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was happening. There was a lot of things that were similar in that experience.
Except for there is romance in the Kiss Quotient.
Right.
Allegedly.
Yeah. allegedly.
What do you mean allegedly?
I didn't love the Kiss Quotient a ton, but
anyway.
And then my other one is kind of just it's not so much on like a romance vibe or anything like that, but it's on a like getting to know yourself. Mm-hmm. And Calendar Girls.
I have not seen.
I saw that movie a long ass time ago. I had to go back in my lexicon there for a second. I was like, Helen Mirren. Mm-hmm. They get naked.
They do get naked.
And pose with flowers in front of the bubbies.
Oh. And baked goods. Yeah. And they do their like charity calendar. They're trying to raise money for the charity that they do every year, and they are women of a certain age that are all posing naked.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
It's actually mm-hmm. pretty funny.
Since Danny stole the Kiss Quotient from me,
I'm sorry.
I will call back to a previous recommendation that I think I made at one point in time, or Wiggles made it, which is For a Good Time Call.
You're right.
What is that face? Oh.
Disappointment in myself. I don't really have any great recommendations. There you go.
There you go.
Fair enough.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, folks, if you liked this episode, you can find us out there on the socials at Wrong Dust Jackets on TikTok, if that's still around by the time you're listening to this, and Instagram and Threads and Pinterest, YouTube, all that. And you can find us on our website at wrongdustjackets.com. Check out our blog post for recommendations and reviews of other books that haven't made it onto the podcast. And we'd love to hear from you. So drop a comment, drop a like, find us out there. That's what we got. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.